All right, preserving the faith, be filled with love. And you know, when you look at the object of what I think the whole theme has been about, and that is that we'd like to have the faith hang around a little bit, wouldn't you? You'd like the faith to extend itself out for a lot of years. And by the way, it's going to anyway. Even if you give it a hard time, it's still going to trample over you, because you cannot kill the church. So it's going to go on. But along the way, your legacy is that which is going to better the church. And you ought to have a conscience about it and say, you know what? I would like to be a help to the kingdom of God with what I have to offer, my resources, my time, my talents, whatever it is. And that's the part of Christianity when you look at it, and that is, that's your job in your little piece of preserving the faith, because it's everyone's job as we look at this. Now, as we look at the aspects of all that we've been talking about, today we look at preserving the faith, be filled with love. Now, generally speaking, love is a grand topic that covers many fronts. And when you look at it in general, the scripture says that God is love. So if I were to say to you, be filled with love, what should you be filled with? You see how that works? And that is that everything about God is love, and everything about love is what? So if I said to you, be filled with God, have I covered the topic? And if I say to you, be filled with the devil, have I not covered the topic? You see where that is? You have got to understand this, that when we talk about love, we're talking about everything that God is. So if you work on becoming more God-like, then in turn you're going to be more love-like. You see the connection within that? In Ephesus, in Ephesians, the third chapter, verse 19, and it says, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to the fullness of God. And I like fullness to an extent, until it starts running over the cup and onto your hand. And we're all like that. But that word here says that's what has to happen. You have to have an immeasurable amount that's going to get you a little dirty. That's going to make it a little inconvenient. That's going to challenge you a little bit. That's going to stretch your faith a little bit. That's going to make you to become a little better as you face the devil and his schemes. Are you up to it? Didn't hear anything. And you know, today's church, as I see it, some of us aren't up to a whole lot of inconvenience. We're not up to a whole lot of challenge. We're not up to a little time consumption. We're not up to spending our resources on what matters. Brethren, we've got to get out of that mindset. Because you're not here, and I'm not here, to spend it on me, nor to spend it on you. You're not here to get rich. You are not here so that you can satisfy your 401k and all your annuities roll out into retirement. That's not your business. Is it? And some will argue with you. Some in the church will argue with you because they say, well, we've got to be good stewards, all this and that. And I understand all that. God wants a order. He wants those things. But if you spend your life in those things, at the end of it all, you have absolutely zip. And I'm seeing this firsthand. I'm watching people labor into their older years, and they get ready to retirement, and they go into the doctor's office one day, and you know what the doctor says? Prepare to die, because you've got something we cannot even help you with. And you know that 401k you've got stashed away? It's going to go to the doctor. It's going to go to the hospital, and it probably end up at assisted living. Say, wow, that's reality. I'm seeing that happen all the time. And so I step back and think, wow, if this is going to happen and it's probable, then you need to get a refocus and a reshifting of your life's purpose. And that is, we have got to be filled with God. Period. And that takes a perspective that there's a lot to it. And there's a lot of challenge to that. 1 John 4, verse 8 says, "The one who does not know God," it says, "the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him." And so the focus is on how much God can we be filled with, for God is love. Now, I'd like to hone the aspect of be filled with love in two aspects today. And that is, as we look at all the things that love is all about, I want to focus in on two things. And that is, the first one, love is compassion. And the way I think about this today in this day and age, and that is, that to be functional, to be applicable and be practical in the Lord's church, we have to get a mindset about who is around us and what our ministry is all about, what our service is all about, and what our lives are all about. And it's easy to become closed-minded to all that's happening around us. Believe me, I'm a person that I don't like hassle. Is there anyone out there that just loves hassle? I love to be as hassle-free as possible. That's why when I go into McDonald's, I say, "Hey, give me the number one." "Well, sir, there's 13 choices. Give me the number one. I'm okay with that. It's easy." That's how I look at things. And I have a tendency to want to take that into the Lord's work. "You got issues? You guys have marital problems? Your children are out of control?" Do you get my point? And then start working with people outside the church that have spent the last 20, 30 years of their lives messing it up. And then they come and they're asking for help. I tell you what, they're coming to you with a basket load of hassle. And then you have to say, "Wow, where is my compassion?" Let's look at this morning. In Luke, the 7th chapter, and there are many instances of this, where the Lord himself, he sets the pace in all this. He says, in Luke, the 7th chapter, verse 13, he said, "And when the Lord saw her, he felt compassion for her, and he said, 'Do not weep.'" Now, you look at the context that bears here, and that is, when you've got someone that's suffering, someone who's in anguish, and someone who has no last resort, nowhere else to turn, then do we have compassion on that situation? Do we have compassion on someone that can't help themselves? Someone that has messed up their lives so badly that they have nowhere else to turn, and they're asking for help. And you know what the tendency in the general religious world today is? You know, we're going to bypass that. I had someone tell me one time, he said this to me, and I don't think he was a cruel individual, but he said something that stuck, that I've grappled with. He says, "John," he says, "you cannot build a work on down and outers." And then he went on saying, because, you know, they can't do this, this, and this, and they really have nothing to offer. But, you know, I've grown up in the last 20 so years of my life, and I've thought about that. And that is that if an individual is truly converted, does he remain a down and outer? Can he be an active force in the kingdom of God? Can he be productive? Can they be soul winners? Absolutely. You see, it's not about my kingdom, because I need to have you contribute now. Because you look at Jesus' ministry, who did he go work with? Never consider that? This guy, if we would call it that, he's not a guy, he's my Lord and my Savior. But this minister, this preacher, this shepherd, if you want to look at it that way, he went into the places no one else would dare go. He went to people that no one else would dare even converse with. He associated with individuals that nobody else wanted to talk to. Why? Because he felt compassion on them. And compassion is huge, because you and I need to have our hearts broken with the needs and the issues of someone else's life. It's not a pretty picture to see people suffering. I don't like to go to hospitals, I admit. Two places I don't like to go. I don't like to go into the ER hospitals, and I do not like to go into the rest homes. You know why? Tell you the suffering. We're in a hospital the other day, walking through the ER, and there were moans coming from all over the corridor. There were people dying, suffering, people in anguish. And it's easy to kind of block your ears and to start singing Amazing Grace. I'll sweep this out. But I'll tell you what, it's not that way. If we're going to be involved and we're going to be filled with God, we're going to be filled with love, we have a heart of compassion. We've got to extend ourselves a little bit, and we've got to become a little vulnerable. And I think that's what we have a hard time doing. I have a hard time being vulnerable because I don't like being burned. You know what I come to conclude? Does it really matter what I want? Does it really matter what I feel on the subject? It's God's business. Friend, if he wants you burned, he's going to burn you all by himself. It's the way it is. And we are just agents for the work of the Lord. We need to be filled with compassion. Now, how does this apply? Who needs your help the most? In your world today, who needs your help the most? You know, in John chapter 5, I want you to look at this. John chapter 5, and notice what's happening here in the and the personal lives of many. In John chapter 5, verse 1, it reads this way. It says, "And after these things, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And now there in Jerusalem by the sheep gate, there was a pool, which is called in Hebrew, Bethesda." Do you recognize the name Bethesda as a what on the East Coast? Hospital, big hospital. "And there were five porticos there." So what that means is the writer is describing this to us. It was a big place that was going to facilitate a lot of suffering because there's people here. And watch what's going to happen. And verse 3, it says, "And these lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, lame, withered." SBLW acronym. And there are many like us today. SBLW'd all over. And I want you to see this. "And they're waiting for the moving of the waters. For the angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool, stirred up the water. Whomever then first, after the stirring of the water, stepped in, was made well after from whatever disease with whatever he was afflicted with." Wow. So we're going to the sheep gate today, guys. What's our goal? We're going to check the water. We're going to get in fast. That's what we're going to do today. Watch the water. Get in fast. So I wake up every morning, and what's my agenda? Watch the water, get in fast. And that's what I live for. There was a man there that was in this kind of predicament for how many years? Verse 5. 32 is good, but 38 is better. 38 years! There are some of us here that haven't even lived 38 years. Some of us have lived too long. 38 years. Waiting for what? Checking the water, wanting to get in. That's all good and well, but could this guy even do that? All he could do is say, "Hey, the water!" And he couldn't move. So what he would have to do is say, "Hey, the water, throw me in!" By that time, what happened? There was someone else, sick, blind, withered and lame, ha, I beat you. Rejoicing at hand, because I'm healed. Now I want you to see this. Jesus, verse 6, saw him lying there. And he knew that he'd already been a long time there in that kind of condition. Did he mock him? Did he scourge him with scorn? Because can't you do anything better with your days? Can't you contribute any more to my kingdom, even though you're in this kind of shape? It doesn't say this, but because of other passages that we read that call upon the compassion of the Lord, I wouldn't doubt that the Lord had tears in his eyes, seeing the condition of this man. A desire that he could not meet on his own. And he asked him, he says, do you wish to get well? And the sick man answered him, sir, I would like to, this is paraphrase, I would like to, but it's not even going to happen. Slim chance. Slim chance. And so Jesus said, verse 8, okay, get up, pick up your pallet, and walk. And I tell you what, there was a lot of rejoicing happening. But you know what? This isn't the only time. This is not the only time that the scripture calls to bear where Jesus said he had compassion for the multitudes, hungry, couldn't feed themselves. They were sick, couldn't take care of themselves. You had blood running down people's legs, and you had blindness, and you had leprosy, and you had all kinds of things that people came unto the Lord for, and Jesus felt compassion for their needs. And I say, well, that was Jesus, and he could do those things. But you know, you and I are not limited. We are not limited to the fact that we can't be of help to somebody. I had an old Christian one time, said, you know, John, he said, what you're doing is this, or what you should do is that you should be able to work so that you would take care of your family. And he says, and then have some to share with those who have need. And he says, if you make that a priority of your life, he says, your life will be an impact to many. Help along the way. Let me ask you this honestly. I don't know, chill hands or anything, but has somebody along your way's life ever handed you a $10 bill, and that $10 bill was like if you had just gotten $1 million? You were that needy, your situation was that dire, that small blessing took you and your hope and your faith to that next level, or even preserved it. I've been there. And we've tried to do that, and that is that you can see when someone else has a need. You don't have to ask them, do you? You don't have to go around, Jerry, write down your needs, man. And then give it over to Ben. Ben, he's got some needs. That doesn't have to happen. Because you and I can understand, we can see that. We can see issues. We pray about things. And that's good. We pray to God to petition that. But the bottom line is, God is going to use us to be able to minister unto their needs. Because we have a heart of compassion for one another, the lost, and those around us. And that's not something that we need to go get 4 years of training to figure out. Matter of fact, we can do that overnight. All you have to do is open your eyes. And say, well, I've already been burned so many times. Say, I've been burned. I've given away too much money, and I watched this guy go across the street. He goes in the liquor store, and I got burned. Oh, I'll never do that again. I just gave some money to this individual, and there he is buying a carton of cigarettes. I got burned. Happens. But you know what I've come to conclude? And that is, Jesus said, if you did it to the least of these, did it unto me. And this is the thing. Well, you got to be good stewards, yeah. But I'm in service to the king. And I'm an ambassador to the king, and I'm going to live that way. If they want to offend the king, go for it. But who am I to be the mediator of the blessing that can happen? Because I've also seen it work the other way, where I've also seen what we've given turn out to be that little spark that causes someone to be one to the Lord. So you gotta just approach it that way, because you have to have a heart of compassion. You have to live that way. And if we're not that way yet, we gotta get some of that. Because some of us are really cold. We're just cold. And we've got to work against that. You gotta get some joy. You gotta get a little hope. You gotta get a little person to you that says, you know what, I'm gonna be active and vital in this. The man one time, he was just there to give people a hard time. Old preacher one time said, you know, there are people that are going to come and do that, and they just don't want to just be there but just give people a hard time. And finally, I just had enough, because everything that he touched didn't turn to gold, if you know what I mean. And it was just a bad, bad thing. Negative, this, that, fights, and this and that. And I finally said, you know what, brother? I said, I don't know if we can help you here, but I do know that there's the door. You know, and if you can't be active and vital here, you need to go somewhere else. Because here, we're trying to be filled with the love of God. And you're not accomplishing that. And you know what? That's a lesson for us. You got to be a little bit more compassionate needs of others. You got to be filled with a little bit of God. Let me ask you this. How many of you smile on a regular basis? Two? There's only two people? Three? I'm coming to realize this as I get older, and that is there's a lot of things that you can't fix in someone's life. There's a lot of things that are deep, so deep within that only God is going to take care of, and I know that. That's what God says. But I don't need to add to it by giving you a scowl, because I want to add to your misery. Don't do that to me. Help me out a little bit. Smile. We say, oh, I have any teeth. It doesn't matter. Smile. Because you know what? That tells us that there's something good inside of us. I know the scripture says, for as a man thinks in his heart, what? And if you're miserable, it shows on your face. If you're hopeless and desperate, where is it going to show up at? And if you're despondent and if you're even suicidal, where is it going to show up at? It's going to show up here. It's going to show up here. It's going to show up here. And we need to be mindful of that, because you know what? We have a lot to do in this work. Secondly, as we look at compassion, we also look at the other aspect of what love is. And that is, love is just action. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, you read that, and you look at that, and the entire manifest that you have here about love represents, you gotta have a little action in your love. I have people say to me, you know, come, I love you, I love you, I love you. Great. And then what I said? Prove it! Prove it! And we say we love God. Prove it! A new commandment, John chapter 13, it says, I give to you that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also have love for one another. By this, all men will know that you are what? That you're my disciples if you have love for one another. And let me tell you this. That's action. You have love for one another. Do nothing, the scripture says, in an attempt to please yourself. That's a paraphrase from Philippians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, Regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. You know what that really means? Is that quit taking selfies of yourself. You know what I mean by that? We're watching people with their cell phones, and they're sticking their tongue out, and they're doing all kinds of poses, taking selfies of me. It's all about me. No, it's not about you. Love is the fact that we're involved in so much. Don't be rude. Kindness, patience. Not expecting something in return. That's what love is all about. If you're filled with that, then you know what lies on the horizon for you? You're going to reap a lot of benefits of success in your life. In the great state of Kansas, where they should really put the good life instead of Nebraska. But anyway, along I-70, there's a little town, Ellis, Kansas. In that town is the birth and home place of Walter P. Chrysler. Would you even think that? That we're famous for people like that? President was born in Kansas, by the way, too. So we have something more than other states. Anyway, you go to the Boy Home Museum there, and there's a story about Mr. Chrysler. Do you guys know who Chrysler was, by the way? You ever driven one of their cars? Anyway, a young man he was, he had a hard time finding work. Had a hard time finding work. And there was a drugstore owner, and he said to him, he says, Walter, he says, what you need to do is you need to prove that you're worthy of being hired. And he says, well, how do I do that? He says, nobody wants to hire me. And he says, what you need to do is this. You need to just go and find something to do. He says, you see those cans that fell off of the shelf in this store? Go pick those up. Put them where they belong. There's a lady next door. She has a diner. She's shorthanded. She can't afford to hire anyone. Go and wait on some of the tables for nothing. He did that for about 3 months. You know what happened after 3 months? This guy didn't have any shortage of job opportunities. You know why? You see, because there's the action part. And that's what love is all about. We got to get busy doing what God wants us to do. It's the love thing, and we have to be busy. It's good to talk about it. We sing about it. We write about it. The love of God. Let's just live a little bit like that. Because life is too short. Be busy demonstrating the love of God. Because in so doing, you're going to be filled to a greater capacity of what God can do through us. It's easy. If we want to preserve the faith, then we've got to take out the stops on our me-centered lives. We have to get an eye for compassion and be there where the things are a little tough. One last scripture that we'll use, and this is a scripture that I've thought about for a lot of years, and that is that James talks about pure and undefiled religion. Are you acquainted with that passage? He says, pure and undefiled religion is to keep one unspotted by the world, avoiding the widow and the orphan. Did I get that close? Am I close? Not even close. It says that we're to get involved with the two hardest issues of James's day, the widow and the orphan. You know why? Because if you started helping the widow and the orphan, now you're in essence married to them because they can't go anywhere else. They are not going to go anywhere else because they have nowhere else to go. And so that's why James says, if you get yourself involved in the hard things, then you're going to find that God's going to take you further and the kingdom of God is going to be a lot better because you're involved in the hard things. And believe you me, I know what it's like to help someone that doesn't have any other option. Nowhere else to go. No one else to help them. I know what it's like. They're there all the time. At every turn, they're there again. They need some more help. On and on and on. What do you do? Be filled with the love of God.